There's an inherent symbiotic relationship in nature. Nature, given time, balances itself. Deer populations bloom with productive habitat. Predators balance the browsers, keeping populations disease-resistant and habitat in an optimal state. Wolves eat deer. They always have. They always will. It's an equation that's worked for thousands of years here. If we've reached a new biological cliff and are turning to predator control as our last tool in the toolbox, it means we've failed. We've failed to manage ourselves and need a scapegoat. The reality is, a number of human factors have led to dramatic declines in deer populations, and we can't simply kill our way out of this mess. The state manages deer for maximum huntable populations. The problem is, the Forest Service managed the land for industrial clear-cutting using a 30-year-old faulty deer model to justify every sale. Thankfully, the deer model was overturned in 2011 in a landmark court case. But the long-term damage to deer habitat can't be undone. Old clear-cuts are now second-growth thickets with no browse for deer, South Slope winter range, so critical for deer survival in deep snow years, has been logged off. Add to the loss of habitat the accompanying roads, four-wheelers and pickup trucks, and we get the current situation. We are the new super predator, running at 60 miles an hour and striking from a long distance. Frankly, the deer don't have a chance. For the deer, Mitkoff Island and the Lindenberg Peninsula have shrunk from loss of habitat and degraded roaded habitat. The hard reality is the guideline harvest targets need to shrink as well. The 900 deer a year number is an unrealistic, non-sustainable target. It was based on inflated numbers just 3 years after the Tonka Road opened. When new areas get roaded, harvest numbers spike, then plummet. Now, 12 years later, after record snow years, intense road hunting pressure, and another huge timber sale in the hopper for Tonka, the guideline harvest level hasn't been adjusted to reflect the reality on the ground. Nor is there a mechanism in place to account for deer killed by wounding, illegal spotlighting, or poaching. The history of secrecy and deceit, rampant in our public agencies, hasn't helped things either. Whistleblowers standing up for sound scientific policy have been routinely muzzled and ostracized. The Murkowski administration eliminated the entire habitat division from ADF&G to squash inconvenient science. Now under Governor Parnell, the one-voice policy silences dissenting biologists and ensures state agencies toe the party line when addressing industrial projects. When industry and wildlife have competing interests, in this state, industry always wins. Lastly, weather has become a big contributor to deer decline. As the climate becomes more extreme, wildlife is stressed out like never before. Remember the bald eagle chick mortality this spring because it was so cold and wet? No doubt, the same miserable conditions added to fawn mortality. Record snowfalls, of course, have also taken a noticeable toll on deer. So the total deer decline equation is complicated with many variables. An unsustainable guideline harvest level, overhunting, road pressure, poor land management, degraded shrinking habitat, agencies that promote industrial interest, and extreme weather patterns. Ironically, the wolf has been stressed by the same variables, but so much less is known about their numbers or plight. Only the crudest guesses can be made about populations in Management Area 3, as no on-the-ground scientific data exist. All conjecture is thinly based on a 20-year-old study from Prince of Wales Island. Eliminating a hypothetical 80% of wolves from Unit 3 is a decision with no basis in scientific research. This isn't good science or bad science. It's no science. That's an unacceptable standard when proposing extreme predator control measures. Intensive management should be renamed irresponsible management. In the Middle Ages, killing all the wolves probably would have seemed like a good idea. But hopefully today we're a little more enlightened. We need to insist that wildlife policies be rooted in the most site-specific, scientific, modern data available, and that no radical experiments involving species eradication be tolerated. We can't afford a mistake of this magnitude. The current Board of Game has never seen a predator control measure they haven't liked, but that shouldn't stop Alaskans from being heard. Please take a minute to visit the Alaska Department of Fish and Game website and in the search box type Feasibility Analysis for Unit 3. Show the importance of this issue and submit comments to the Board of Game referencing Region 1 staff regarding the feasibility assessment for increasing sustainable harvest of Sitka black-tailed deer in a portion of Game Management 3. The deadline for public comments is next Friday, December 28. Thank you.